Hello and welcome to Phoenix Vision. I'm Jess Farmer and today's SolarCast is Transforming Pain into Empowerment. So this podcast was all about the different aspects of pain and some things that you can do to start taking control of your pain today. I spoke about an interesting mindset shift to look at pain as a locomotive for helping us grow. I spoke about lots of different manifestations of pain, some things that you can do for it. And I went through a case study of medical mystery Mike, a poor chap who is going through a lot of different pain challenges. And I went through a lot of what he could do to help solve those pain challenges. And you'll find there's lots of good actionable information that you can use if it resonates with you from this podcast. So I hope you enjoy. And yeah, any questions on the podcast, feel free to reach out. Hello and welcome to Phoenix Vision. I'm Jess Farmer and I'm really, really excited to bring this solar cast to you guys. It is all about transforming pain into empowerment. So this is a great podcast for anyone who is suffering with any kind of chronic pain, physical pain, mental, emotional pain. I'm going to be going through a lot of great information to help and giving you guys some things that you can do for it. So pain is often incredibly disempowering place to be. So we often give our power to the pain, and the driving focus of this podcast is to share my perspective gained through the work that I do in terms of helping people overcome their pain challenges, as well as my own personal journey of self-empowerment. And I'm going to be explaining how to take the power away from pain and ultimately how to use it as a tool and a locomotor for your healing and empowerment. So I'm going to go through my journey to form the context of the podcast and why I do what I do. I'm going to give an explanation of pain. Then we're going to start exploring pain from the four different levels of physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. And mainly focusing on this podcast on the physical problems. And we're going to talk about what you or someone you know can do to transform pain into empowerment. And also going to go through a fun case study of medical mystery Mike to illustrate some of the challenges that one can find themselves in through various different life situations, and also what you can do about it to help. So, I'll start off with a little bit about my own journey. So I'm a health and wellness coach that works with also the physical pain of the body in terms of pain rehabilitation through manual therapy and corrective exercise, as well as a few other things which we'll also get into. So I actually used to be a mechanical engineer for 10 years, and it was actually around 10 years ago, 10 years ago, that I had a very difficult time within my own mental health. And I basically had some very difficult life circumstances that put me into a really bad place in terms of anxiety and depression. Had to take 3 months off work, and it was a very, very difficult time, very painful time, very disempowering time. Now, during my time off of work, I really started hitting the gym and getting in there and doing what I could in terms of the exercise. And I was finding that this was pretty much the only time I could kind of get my head above water, was when I was training or after training. I'd get like some sort of relief from the mental emotional pain that I was feeling. So really went into the gym like a lot, and it was really instrumental in helping me out of the place I was in. Over time, it took a little while. And I didn't realize so much what was happening at the time, but the very act of strengthening my physical body was also working my mental emotional system and strengthening that, because everything is interlinked, everything interweaves. The body is a holistic system of systems. So when we strengthen and work with the physical aspects of our body, we're also very much working with our psychology and working with our mind. So I eventually got myself to a better place, started doing charity runs, raising money for charity, started off with a half marathon, raised some cash, which felt really good. Then I was like, oh, yeah, what next? And then did a Tough Mudder, raised some more money, which felt really good again. And then I set myself this big challenge, because I was like, oh, what next? I looked at the Ironman competition in Switzerland, and the Ironman is basically a 2.5 mile swim, 112 mile bike ride, and then a marathon to boot at the end of it. So I set myself this challenge, couldn't swim, was 7 months out, and basically got my head down over that those next 7 months, which was exactly what I needed to be doing because I still wasn't quite out of the woods with my mental health. But yeah, progressively built myself up over the next 7 months and basically did the challenge. And yeah, it took me 15 hours, 55 minutes, still remains the best day of my life. A lot of that is because of what it signified for me, because it was a massive step in me overcoming the mental health challenges I was facing. So then I was like, what next? As is my nature. So I then looked at cycle touring and looked at, long story short, I cycled from San Francisco down to the south of Mexico, about 3,000 miles, had the time of my life. I'm actually planning another cycle ride next year or maybe this year, where I'm going to go through the Americas from Canada to Argentina. So that's going to be a lot of fun. So yeah, there'll be podcasts to come about that for sure. So yeah, like it was like really great time, raised a lot more money for charity and got involved in various different charity projects and went to Gambia, and which is a whole story in of itself. But wind forward, I decided when I was traveling, I didn't want to work for myself anymore. Didn't want to work for someone else anymore. So that's where I got into personal training and then joined the Czech Institute, which was holistic health based. And this gave me all of the tools I needed to help start helping people in pain, because it's a health rehabilitation service works with all different aspects of a person's mind. This is Czech Institute. They teach us how to heal people in all sorts of different ways, using all sorts of different methods based around holistic health, corrective exercise, and also helping the person manage their mental emotional systems. So off the back of the knowledge here, I built a gym, which was great, Gymbia, and because it was to raise money for the charity I was supporting at the time, or charity that I created actually. And yeah, Gymbia was great. We were running for a good couple of years, coming up to 3 years, but we overexpanded too fast and unfortunately came to a place whereby the business wasn't sustainable and I lost the business, which plunged me into another very difficult time within myself. So again, dealing with all of the disempowerment from losing a business, all of the mental, emotional difficulties that come with that. My health massively took a huge knock because of the tough time that I was going through. I remember feeling so burnt out at the end of that process that I couldn't do very much. Like it was at a point whereby if I'd go to the park and be able to do some breathing exercises for 5-10 minutes, that was like a win, because it was so difficult to do things at that time. And yeah, so I found myself again in a very difficult life place whereby I wasn't happy, and well, very, very unhappy in fact. And I picked myself up again, went back to what I knew, the exercise, but also had many more tools that I've been learning at the Czech Institute and through my time with now working with others. So I started working on myself again, this time much more in a spiritual self-development capacity, really looking at the reasons and causations of why my business went south and really working on myself, because ultimately, you know, the business went south because of things that I wasn't that I was doing wrong, and things that I wasn't doing that maybe I should have been doing. But a big part of it was just burning myself out and taking on way too much. So I went to work on myself and started empowering myself again. And then the COVID struck. So it was during this time of COVID that I then birthed the idea of Phoenix Coaching, because I'd looked at various different things that I'd challenges that I've gone through in my life, and while it being very horrible while I was in them, I was always able to come back from them much stronger, and these challenges were super formative for my development and my growth and forming the person that I am today. So I can actually look back now at the times of having difficulty with my mental health, losing my business, And I'm grateful. I can honestly say I'm grateful for these challenges because of the life path that they brought me on and where they brought me to today. So this was part of the inspiration for creating Phoenix Coaching, because I was moving a lot more in a pain rehabilitation direction. Well, pretty much from the start, I was helping people with back pain because this is where I was like really interested. So kind of turned from mechanical engineer to body engineer. So Phoenix Coaching is all about transforming pain into empowerment and helping people get back to doing what they love. So helping people Phoenix themselves. This is the driving focus, like helping them transform themselves, transform their pain into something else, find the gold within there and move it into a place whereby the pain can become a tool for empowerment, which is what this podcast is all about. So, yeah, so to get into the meat of things in this podcast, I'm going to go kind of give a bit of an outline of different kinds of pain to start with. So we can have many different kinds of pain in the body. So we mostly think of physical pain, such as back pain, knee pain, shoulder pain. But also this can be related to, you know, our digestive system, our organs, the pain of having a health challenge that we need to deal with. The different pains that arise from, you know, our modern world, like sitting at the desk. If someone sits at a desk for a long period of time and doesn't move, then eventually this is going to tighten the system and cause some sort of pain. So it's not just limited to physical pain. So the pain of choosing to stay in a relationship when maybe we should move on. This could be a working relationship, a personal relationship with a partner or relationship with friends. It could be living with mental health challenges. You know, there's a lot of people who suffer in silence, and you know, male suicide is at an all-time high at the moment. And this is because men are choosing to live with this kind of pain. You know, it's not always as simple as that, because sometimes someone is in a very, very difficult place. And it can be so difficult for them to get the help that they need or make that decision. But once that decision, that choice to start healing is made, then many things can be done to help it. Also, pain may not be a choice of ours. Often it can be a choice of ours. So whether we know it or not, subconsciously or consciously, we're choosing pain. So to give an example of that, someone's back pain may actually be rooted in their IBS, because we'll get into this a little bit later, but the organs are connected with the muscles. So if the organs are in trouble, then the muscles will shut down and this can cause someone's pain. So then it's asking the question, right, if the person's IBS is creating their back pain, what's creating the IBS? So then it's looking at dietary choices. And so it might be unearthed that the person has, say, a gluten intolerance. So the person's diet of bread and wheat and other gluten-containing foods may be driving the IBS, which may be driving the back pain. So in this case, it's the person evaluating their nutritional choices in order to get out of pain. So that person, knowing that they have a gluten intolerance so that their back pain gets better without gluten, they then have a choice as to whether to keep eating gluten or whether to change the nutritional approach. Sometimes pain isn't of our choosing. So I'm working with a lovely, lovely young boy at the moment, and he had some challenges around birth, which basically locked up his diaphragm. And then the diaphragm is the primary breathing muscle, very important muscle for the body. This then created a wave of dysfunction throughout the system, causing a lot of hip pain, which then went down and caused ankle pain. So this is all rooted from the diaphragm and all because of something that happened around the time of his birth. So obviously not his choice, but he has to then work, like live with it and do what he can to help heal it. Like, thankfully we've gotten to a really good place just before he went on a growth spurt. So he's now doing very well and looking pretty good at his sports. So one thing that I want to say about pain, like if pain a lot of the time is based off of some sort of choice that we're making, often with lifestyle or how we're navigating through our life, say if we're making choices that are conducive to bringing a lot of stress into our lives, then you know, this is pain through choice. So I want to explain and share about the nature of pain and what it's doing for us. So pain helps to quicken our consciousness. It helps to raise awareness around the different choices that we're making in life. It helps us to recognize the different choices that we're making. And then this gives us an opportunity to course correct. So my mentor, Paul Check, calls it the pain teacher, because there is always some sort of lesson that can be gleaned from our pain. There is something that can be learned here. And there's a saying that the solution to a problem lies within the problem. So if we're looking for solutions to our pain, then we can often find them somewhere rooted within the pain that we're feeling. There's also a saying that pain will leave the body once it's done teaching you. So in this way, we can start to look at our pain in a slightly different way, because unfortunately, often we're like our society is rigged to think that pain is this like really bad thing. And in some cases, you know, it can be absolutely completely debilitating. But it's kind of like we're taught that this pain is this thing to be pushed aside and not felt at any cost. And, you know, what this results in is, you know, people taking painkillers and numbing the pain, doing what they can to avoid the pain rather than tackling the issues that are creating the pain in the first place. Unfortunately, we kind of tend to be in this avoidance place when it comes to pain, especially with painkillers. But now I'm not against painkillers. I mean, for certain scenarios, taking painkillers is like a really, really good option. I usually say like for acute issues, not to take painkillers continually, because this can create problems. But in the case of painkillers, if we're numbing the pain is often the feedback from the body to tell us that something's wrong, to give us an opportunity to do something with it. We're continually numbing the pain, then that thing that is wrong within the system can potentially then go on to create damage, because we no longer have the pain because of the painkillers to tell us that we're doing something wrong or that might be harmful for the system. Likewise with mental emotional pain, if it's suppressed and not expressed, then it goes on and on and on and gets buried and often then creates problems in our life, such as outbursts of anger or bouts of depression, bouts of anxiety. These are actually symptoms of pain and traumas that haven't been addressed within the system. I'm going to do a whole other podcast about mental emotional pain, because it's a massive topic. All of this is a massive topic, but for today we're going to focus mainly on physical. So it's looking at the nature of challenges and why challenges come to us, pain being one of them, but also the different challenges we face in life. Now, the Chinese word for meaning for crisis is a dual meaning. It means, well, crisis, something bad's happening, as well as opportunity. There's an opportunity within this crisis. So the nature of challenges and why we experience challenges within our life, we can start to see these as opportunities for growth and opportunities for change, because there's a reason that we've gravitated this challenge towards us, whether it's self-created or whether life has put us this challenge. There's always something that we can learn from this challenge and use this in order to grow ourselves. So in this instance, I'd really love you to consider your mindset around pain and how are you regarding pain at the moment. Is pain something to be got rid of, or is pain something that we can maybe use constructively? And a big part of this podcast is going to be talking about this. So, because I'm starting to rehabilitate pain, the first thing we need to do is work with how we're thinking about our pain, how we're relating with our pain. How are we letting this pain affect us? Is it sending us into the victim mentality, or is it a catalyst for us to be able to rise up and be able to take life by the horns and actively do something about it? So there's the word responsibility. Now, responsibility is the ability to respond. If we don't have any ability to respond, then we can't take responsibility for ourselves. So taking responsibility for one's pain and health is giving yourself the ability to respond to that challenge. So one of the first steps in terms of pain rehabilitation is taking responsibility for the position that you that we're in. I say we because, you know, I'm in the same boat as you guys. You know, like I have pain challenges that come up now and then, not so much physical with the body, but, you know, life always wants to throw us a curveball. So, you know, it's like I say we because I very much like experience challenges as well. And, you know, and these are questions I'm asking myself. It's like, okay, how do I respond to this challenge? Well, first I need to take responsibility in order to be able to respond. So that's the first point. The second thing is that knowledge and self-education is power. And since we're talking about transforming pain into empowerment, then as much power as we can bring ourselves into in regards to our pain, the better, because it is ultimately a journey of empowerment. Pain can keep us in a very difficult place, very disempowered, very difficult life situation, but we have a choice whether we can rise up out of it or stay with it and learn and live with it. Remember, pain only leaves the body once it's done teaching. So I'm always incredibly inspired by like the Paralympics. And, you know, I was going through a bit of a difficult time with some knee problems a few years ago. Actually, that's why I had to stop my cycle trip, because I started generating a knee problem. I remember at the time getting into this really difficult place of, you know, being in the victim and, oh, my knee this, and, oh, it's so bad, and, oh, I can't do what I wanted to do, and, oh, I had to stop my bike trip, and, you know, all of this stuff. And I remember seeing I saw like within 2 days, I saw two different things which really hit me. One was seeing Paralympians, like guys who've like got no legs, competing in the Olympics, doing amazing things in terms of, you know, running in wheelchair races, like, wow. And I was just like, okay, yeah, I should be grateful to have a knee in the first place. And the second was I saw a homeless person with no legs. I was like, damn, yeah, you know, maybe my knee problem, you know, it put a few things in perspective for me. So it helped to shift my mindset and bring me to a place whereby I was like, right, okay, if the Paralympians can you know, do what they can do with no legs, then damn, I can do something with my knee for sure. And it sent me on a long journey of growth and self-education with exercise, because it took a while to heal. So knowledge and self-education is power. Educating yourself, like really, like if you're suffering from a challenge, there are things you can do about it. And the first thing to do is to learn about it. So there's a fantastic book called How to Eat, Move and Be Healthy by my mentor, Paul Chek. That's C-H-E-K. How to Eat, Move and Be Healthy. Now, this is the health Bible. So I'm a Czech practitioner, and this book basically forms the foundation of everything we teach. Now, if 95% of all health challenges are actually from lifestyle, some sort of lifestyle element that isn't being addressed correctly. So, you know, this is 95% of all health challenges and diseases come from not eating well, not sleeping, not drinking, not managing mental, emotional patterns, not breathing correctly, and not living to purpose, not moving as well. We live in a sedentary culture where we don't move very much. So if everyone in the world got that book and actioned what was in the book, the pharmaceutical industry would probably go out of business. Very powerful book. So if you're looking for a good place to start your self-education, then that book is a great place to start. Also, getting the right kind of guidance, because sometimes what happens with the body is complex, you know, and sometimes we need a helping hand from someone, you know. There are people out there who are experts in managing these kinds of challenges with the body, with the mind, the emotions. And it can be really, really helpful to look towards someone who knows specifically about the challenges that you're going through, whether that's a health coach or a movement specialist or a relationship counselor. it's always good to seek guidance. So I've got two different people that I work with for guidance for myself to help hold my work and advance myself within my work. So yeah, it's very valuable to have a teacher and have guidance. So pain empowerment comes through responsibility plus self-knowledge plus guidance equals pain rehabilitation often. This makes me think of someone I recently interviewed on my podcast, lovely woman called Judith Pearson. And she went on one, and you can check her podcast out. It's called Holistic Knowledge Bombs. It was a couple of podcasts ago. So she went through incredibly difficult journey with an autoimmune conditions, fibromyalgia, lots of different, very challenging pain conditions. And she didn't want to lay down and basically take the advice that was given to her, which in her opinion wasn't the best advice. And she went on this huge journey of self-empowerment, self-knowledge, and now she helps other people through her health work, Reju Wellness. Big shout out for Judith. And yeah, she helps empower other people. And like, this is a great example of someone who's really, you know, taken the mantle and taken up the challenge with their self-education and got a great result for it. So moving on, I want to talk about some of the causations of pain. Now, the first thing before getting into the physical aspects, I want to talk about the mind, because often the belief systems and how we're thinking massively influences our pain. So there's a great documentary actually coming out. It's on my to-do list to watch. Yeah, it's called This Might Hurt. And this is a fantastic documentary from what I've seen so far about a scientific study where a physician has come in with a lot of chronic pain cases, medical failures, people who just couldn't get better. And he started working just with their mind and emotions, and people have started to heal. How can this be if the mind and body weren't seamlessly connected? So yeah, that documentary is called This Might Hurt, if you want to check out more about it. So I wanted to talk about belief systems. And one of the first things that I work with people is their belief systems around pain, because there's a lot of people. Imagine if you've been going through a pain challenge for 10, 15 years. You've tried what you think to be everything in the book. Nothing's really worked, or something's worked a little bit, but it hasn't quite got you where you want to go. And or results are temporary at best, and maybe not getting the right advice. And yeah, people can start to lose hope, and which is a very challenging place to be. So, you know, a big part of the first thing I do with the clients and patients I work with is give them a belief that rehabilitation is possible within realistic, you know, bounds, because sometimes something might be in a place whereby we'd be looking more at pain management rather than full rehabilitation. However, body has an incredible capacity and ability to heal when you're doing the right things for it. And even if it's a pain management situation, you can always make improvements. So knowing that it's possible to heal, knowing that that is possible, that the body is amazing, we set the right conditions within the body, it can heal. It is this incredible machine that's always trying to, it's not a machine, it's so much more than a machine. It's a holistic sentient being that is always trying to heal itself and always trying to bring itself into balance and homeostasis. So talking about belief systems, so our beliefs are often form our thoughts and therefore behaviors. So if we work on our belief systems, then we can work on our behaviors. Our behaviors are often the thing that's conducive to either having a health problem or healing from the health problem. Is how we behave and how we're tackling and moving through life. So one of my clients a little while ago, we were working with a belief system around back pain. And he was finding that his three elder siblings, they all had back pain. And his belief, looking at his elder siblings, were that they were kind of ranging from mid-60s to 80s. So he was seeing his siblings with back pain. And he had this belief that back pain is just something that happens as you get older, because his brothers and sister had back pain. But the belief system was stopping him from doing the things that were keeping him out of pain, because it was kind of like this, back pain's inevitable, so why bother? So then it's like, why bother doing the stretches that are going to keep me out of pain? Why bother strengthening and stretch and doing the things to keep the muscles strong? And why bother with the nutrition? So now, when we evaluated his older siblings, found that all of them were living maybe not the healthiest lifestyles. They were all clinically obese and, yeah, just not really moving and hadn't done so for years. So, you know, no wonder they're in back pain. You know, 80% of people in our society have back pain or will experience back pain at some point in their lives. It's not because back pain is inevitable. It's because as a society, we're maybe not living the healthiest that we could do or could be. So I did some work to shift this belief system with my client, because as that belief system would have held him back from doing the work needed to actually get out of pain. And just because someone else has a certain situation doesn't mean that that situation applies to you. The next example, I was talking to a lovely woman on the phone a little while ago, and she's got a very debilitating neurological condition, which basically means that there's a lot of laxity in her joints and a lot of pain that comes from it. There's fibromyalgia as well. And yeah, it's just really difficult condition whereby the joints are hypermobile and the system is like very unstable. And she was very much losing hope. And I was able to give her some hope, because everything that she was describing with the right treatment protocols, such as, you know, stretching the right correct muscles, doing the right kind of proprioceptive work for the joints, doing the right kinds of movements, reprogramming the system in specific ways, using stability exercises, all of these things could massively improve her condition and bring it to a place whereby there's more stability in her body. So the more stability, the more ability for the body to feel itself and therefore support itself, meaning that less pain experienced. So this was, she didn't come on as a client because of distance. Unfortunately, we're at other ends of the country, but it was a very, very good call for her, because it helped put her on a path whereby she had hope that something could be done about it. Now, if she then goes forward to do the different things and get a therapist a little bit closer to her, then her pain will be helped. But she was at the point of thinking that nothing would be able to help. So, you know, working with this belief system and having the hope that's change, something can change, can spur someone into action, and direct what they're doing. So again, you know, it needs to be realistic. So in some cases, we're looking at pain management there rather than rehabilitation. But in many, many cases, you can get to a place for rehabilitation. Depends on person to person. But yeah, it's absolutely possible. So having that belief then forms the action that you then take forward to do what you need to do to start the process of healing. Also, pain doesn't happen overnight. So, you know, pain is often the result of the weakest link in the chain going when the system's been under stress and load for too long. So many pain and health challenges are actually years in the making. So this comes from, again, the six foundation principles: not drinking enough adequate water, not sleeping enough, not looking after our nutrition, not moving the body, not managing our mental and emotional thought processes, and living with a dream and breathing technique. So, you know, remember, 95% of all health conditions in the body are lifestyle based. So pain doesn't happen overnight. It's a result of not looking after these aspects over the course of years. And then eventually the body will give you some sort of pain as an opportunity for course correction. So next I want to talk about, you know, we experience pain on the individual level, but actually what doesn't help and what can often drive things is actually what's happening at the societal level, especially when we follow everything that society is teaching us, because, you know, even with all of the modern advances with medical technology, which is fantastic, some of the things that can be done with medical technology is incredible. Yet we are facing a populace that's getting sicker and sicker as time goes on. You know, cancer 100 years ago was not really a factor, you know, compared to what it was today. Now it's like, I think it's like 1 in 3, and that's going to go up to 1 in 2 people will have cancer sometime in their lives. It's like, what is happening? You know, and a lot of this I feel is from a societal level, because it's society that teaches us on the individual level how to be. And unfortunately, the society is sick at the moment. You know, all you need to do is really look at the people who are governing much of our society to see that. You know, the other people in power, the healthiest of people. It's maybe a question to reflect on. So as a society, we're really disconnected from a lot of the things that are actually healthy for us. We're disconnected from nature. We're disconnected from our bodies, and ultimately disconnected from ourselves. So if you take a ride on a London tube, then you'll see what I mean. You know, every single person is glued to their phone, and not connected with what's happening with themselves. And, you know, the further disconnected we've become from nature, often the worse our health challenges become. So you could say that actually a lot of health challenges come from a lack of connection with ourselves or other people. So, you know, if we're disconnected from our body, we're not going to be able to feel what the body needs. We're not going to be able to feel the body's cries for help until we get some sort of pain sensation. You know, if you eat something that doesn't agree with you, and you're so disconnected from your body that you can't feel that it's not good for your body, you can't feel that it doesn't agree with you, you're going to keep eating that food until it will create a health problem. And then you're going to be forced to listen to it because of the health challenge. So, yeah, also a lot of it comes back to, you know, our education system, the media. There's this fast-paced way of living. Like everyone's go, 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 do, 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 which drives our stress response, which brings us out of balance. There's toxicity in the environment, toxicity in the food. You know, if you live in a city, like there's toxicity in the air. Eating organic is really important because there's all sorts of stuff that goes into the food. There's a sedentary culture. We don't move enough compared to our ancestors, which would have been constantly on the move, constantly doing things all day. So ultimately, this disconnection and the way that our society is in terms of this fast-paced way of being, it brings us out of balance. And I was having a really interesting conversation in my last podcast with Chris Klimek about some of the indigenous tribes and how they work with pain. They see pain as a symptom of the person being outside, out of balance with themselves in some area. So they seek to restore the balance. And then this brings the pain into a better place by harmonizing the body. So we live in a society that brings us out of balance. So this is where being conscious of all of these different ways that we can be out of balance is really important, so that we can do what we need to do to be in balance and remain in a good place of health and be pain-free. So when out of balance, pain comes to help us to course correct. So when we're in a state of balance, it brings us energy, vitality, and happiness. So the body is incredible. There's all these different biochemical reactions happening at all times, keeping us in balance. Our thoughts and emotions can often cause stress, which then knocks us out of balance. So this is where doing some sort of self-work on ourselves to help us balance our thoughts and emotions is crucial to maintaining a good state within. So to touch on stress, stress often creates a lot of body tension, and it also creates a lot of emotional pain. So biomechanically, if we experience a lot of stress, then the whole system comes under tension. then the different muscles that are tense pull on joints, which if this pulls on joints, then it will create a shear response, and which is basically wear and tear in the joint. And if this goes for long enough, the body will give us pain as an opportunity to show us that something's wrong so we can course correct. So also specifically, when we do experience stress, the levator scapula muscles on top of the shoulders, as well as the hip flexors, which attach to the lower back and the legs, these guys get really tight. So if the levator scapula get really tight and these go up into the neck due to stress, this creates a lot of neck pain, often neck tension. If the hip flexors, psoas muscles that attach to the lower back, if these get really tight due to stress, then these will often cause back pain. So you can do all of the stretching and strengthening and all of the stuff that you want, but if the stress and load on the body isn't managed, then that is always going to create pain for you. The pain is like knocks at the door, and the body begging for change a lot of the time. And pain is the body's attempt to put the brakes on. But sometimes we carry on doing the behaviors that are creating pain for us. And this is where the pain gets louder and louder until we're forced to do something about it. So in my opinion, it's best to address the pain or the potential of the pain before the knocks at the door come. So prevention is better than the cure. This is living healthily, moving, eating well, sleeping. Or then if we get the pain, if we get that knock on the door, it's good to address it then. We don't want to wait until someone comes and knocks the door down, bashes the door down. And that can come in the form of some sort of serious health challenge. It could come in the form of a serious injury. Something serious happening. Remember, the knocks on the door get louder and louder as an opportunity for you to do something with it. So there's four different kinds of pain: physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. Everything is connected. So an issue at one level is an issue at all levels. So if we have back pain, this is going to affect how we feel within our mind and emotions and energetic system. And if we have an emotional challenge, then this will often manifest as a physical challenge, and so on and so forth. So we're going to mainly focus on physical pain for this podcast, because like I said, like mental emotional is a massive topic, which I want to explore in another time. But yeah, I'm going to give you some really nice metaphors for thinking about physical pain in the body. So this goes for back pain, knee pain, shoulder pain, neck pain, elbow pain, you know, you name it. These principles hold. Because the body is a holistic system of systems, everything is connected. Every muscle is connected to every other muscle. And every organ is connected to every muscle. So we can think of the body a little bit like a bicycle wheel. Now, if the rim of the bicycle wheel is the spine and the bit in the middle is the core, the spokes are the muscles. So in a nicely tensioned bicycle wheel, that's a nice smooth bike to ride. But what happens when we get some spokes or muscles that are tight and other spokes that are loose? What happens is it'll pull the bike rim out of alignment. And then we're going to get a bit of a bumpy ride going down the road. So in this case, we want to find the muscles that are tight, the tight spokes, and loosen them off. Find the spokes that are loose, the loose muscles, and tighten them up. And then that's going to pull your bike rim or your spine or your body into good alignment, and you're going to get less pain. Because in a body that's well aligned, it attenuates force. It dissipates the force equally throughout the body. So often when the body's out of alignment, one specific point or a couple of different specific points on the body bear more load than they should. And then this causes wear and tear in the joints, giving us some form of pain. The second analogy, which ties into this, I want to give you, is that the spine is like a ship mast. So if you imagine a ship sailing through the ocean, and it's got the sails on it, and the mast holds up the sails, then the mast needs ropes to hold itself up, because otherwise it would fall over. Now, again, if you think of the ropes on the ship, attaching to the ship mast to the ship as muscles, if you've got a couple of those ropes that are not doing anything or severed, then the other ropes are going to have to do a lot more work. The other muscles are going to have to do a lot more work. And that's going to put tension on the ship mast. And this tension creates pain. So third analogy I want to give you is the Jenga tower. Now we're thinking about, like, for anyone who doesn't know Jenga, Jenga is like a game with loads of wooden blocks that you stack into a tower. And then you've got to take turns to take the blocks away. And the person who collapses the tower loses the game. Now, we'll think of the muscles of the body like these Jenga blocks. So if I've got a pint of water and I put that pint of water on top of the tower with no blocks taken out of it, the tower's sturdy. It's going to keep the glass of water on top of it. So the glass of water is a weight, like lifting a heavy weight for our body. Now, as I start to take blocks out of that Jenga tower, it's going to start making it less stable. And at some point, that glass of water is going to fall off the top and the Jenga tower is going to fall over, which is pain. So this could be if the system isn't supported properly and you go to lift something up at work, then this is the Jenga tower getting tipped over because it's got too much load on it, and you get some sort of back pain because of it, because the system, the muscles of the system aren't structurally aligned, balanced, or stable. Oh, well, the system isn't stable as a result of the muscles not being structurally aligned and balanced. So when we talk about physical pain in the body, some of the things that are causing it from the muscular level, muscular strength imbalances, tight muscles doing too much, stress creating tension in the system, sedentary lifestyle causing out of balance muscles, incorrect movement patterns, lack of structural integrity, and carrying excess weight, and a number of other aspects will cause physical pain. But those are some of the top things. Now, back pain in sub-Saharan Africa doesn't exist. They did a study on this, and they found that only 4% of people, well, I say it doesn't exist, it does. So they were looking at, but not in the way that you would think. So they're doing studies on tribal societies in sub-Saharan Africa, and they're finding that only 4% of people were ever suffering with back pain. And this was because of injuries such as falling out of trees and like physical injuries. But chronic back pain was not a factor, didn't exist in this study. So how could this be? And now, if you look at the sub-Saharan African tribes and how they live is much more closer to the tribal way in which we would have lived as we evolved. So lots of movement, lots of different activities that involve taking the muscles through a full range of movements, such as like squatting to eat. Squatting in general is very good for the body. You know, how many, the question is like, can you sit in a full squat at the moment? And if not, this is an aspect of, you know, tightness in the body that can potentially lead to pain. So because of the tribal way of living in sub-Saharan Africa, their back pain virtually was non-existent. So this is what movement can do for us. So in the four-doctor system, doctor movement. Movement is a healer. Physical pain, movement massively helps. So, you know, a lot of people think that when they're getting some sort of pain, they shouldn't move. Now, in acute instances, yes, this can sometimes be true, but often lack of movement makes things worse. So moving is like, oh my God, it's a healer. And that's doing the right specific movements for what specifically is happening with your pain challenge. You'd be surprised what just walking does to help the body. So walking keeps the body primed and generally in a good place. So if you're in pain, walking is a good option, as long as the walking isn't causing more pain in of itself. So if you think about gravity is always pushing us down. It's trying to press us into the earth. So when we are walking around, the body is resisting force of gravity, which keeps an element of structural strength in the system. If we stop moving, stop walking, the muscles become deconditioned because they no longer have so much force of gravity on them. So next, I want to talk about the influence of the organs, or the potential influence on the organs on the pain that we're experiencing. Now, there's something called a viscerosomatic reflex. So viscerosomatic reflex basically is how the muscles of the body influence and interact with the organs and muscles relationship. So now they're connected. So when we experience a problem with one or more of the organs, then this can switch off muscles, which can then give the system less structural integrity, as we just discussed, which can then lead to the back pain. So, you know, a few examples of this. So people know that when a heart attack is experienced, then there's a shooting pain that goes down the left side of the left arm. So this is a viscerosomatic reflex. It's the heart reflexing pain into the arm. Women around the time of the monthly cycle, around the time of menstruation, often find that back pain goes up and other pain within the body if they're suffering from it. Now, this is because the womb, where the womb is inflamed, the body shuts down the core musculature in order to have it so that there's not an abdominal wall putting more pressure on the womb. So with the core muscles switched off, then the body has less support, which can lead to more back pain. I've seen this with many of my female clients. The stomach, also, similarly, if we have problems with the digestive system as well, so bloating, gas, constipation, this will also switch the core muscles off in a similar way. So, you know, someone's, IBS can be creating their pain. If there's an issue with the stomach reflexes to the left shoulder, and the liver and pancreas reflex to the right shoulder. So, you know, if someone's got a shoulder issue, then the origin could actually be within the stomach, liver, or pancreas, because they might be struggling. So this person might be doing loads of stretching and strengthening for the shoulders, but it ultimately may not get them anywhere because the problem is actually in the organ rather than in the shoulders themselves. So yeah, so someone's bloating, gas, constipation, other organ challenges, these can be shutting down the core. So the body lacks support. So then, you know, someone's ankle, knee, back, or shoulder pain could well actually be rooted in the digestive system. So that's where working on your health, deloading stress, eating good foods is really important for rehabilitating from pain, potentially. So the summary of this little section is, you know, moving a person closer to health through deloading the system from stress and balancing the body is often the first step. And it's also, you know, it's an overarching goal when it comes to working with your health and rehabilitating from pain, getting the body healthy. A healthy body is often a body that has a lot more less pain in it. So when I talk about stress, I'll just quickly touch on that. Like, stress on the system can come in six different ways. It's not just the mental emotional stresses, although these are massive contributors. So we have mental emotional, nutritional stress. So having a sugary coffee puts a lot of stress on the system in the same way that a mental emotional stressor such as having a bad day at work will. So EMF, so our laptops, our phones, Wi-Fi, these all cause stress on the system as well. So mitigating exposure as much as possible. Overexercising can cause stress on the system. Underexercising can cause stress on the system in a different way. Chemical stress, so this comes through chemicals in the air or in the foods, household cleaning items, chlorine in pools. So yeah, chemical stress can cause stress on the system, and thermal stress being too hot or too cold. So when I say stress on the system, it can come from six different places. It's not just mental emotional, although mental emotional has a massive part in this. Okay. So when it comes to healing and taking someone through a healing process, there's a number of different steps that I would take someone through. Now, this next section, if you're suffering with chronic pain or have some sort of health issues, really, really listen to this next section and employ you to take some notes, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through different steps of healing. I'm then going to go through a case study called Medical Mystery Mike, whose poor Mike has got a lot of stuff going on. Made up case history, but entirely possible. I've seen stuff like this happen before. And then I'm going to give a four doctor recommendation plan for Medical Mystery Mike to help him heal. So to give a quick introduction to the four doctors are Dr. Quiet, Dr. Diet, Dr. Happiness, and Dr. Movement. This is a system created by my mentor, Paul Check. Health genius. That guy is a freak genius. Highly recommend looking at his work. And also, if you're a therapist or looking to move into working with people, then I highly recommend the Check Institute. It changed my life and enabled me to be able to work with people in a very dynamic, profound way. So the four doctors are like your four-legged stool of health. Now, they are, if a leg only has three legs, then that chair, let me start again. If a chair only has three legs, then this is going to be an unstable chair. So this is what the four doctors are. So it's the four pillars of health. So Dr. Quiet is taking enough rest time, introspection time, and sleep, is slowing the body down. What do we need to do to slow the body down and rest to harmonize the body and give us the energy we need to heal? Dr. Diet is what kind of foods are we feeding into the body to help its healing process? What are we bringing into ourselves, knowing that you are what you eat? So if you're eating good foods from a good quality source, that's what you're going to be made of. Dr. Movement, what kind of movement is best for the body? What kind of movement is going to help us heal in the best manner? What do we need in terms of movement? What does the body need? And also, what movement do we need to hit a certain goal? So a person recovering from back pain is going to have different, who's really stressed, has different movement needs to someone who wants to run a marathon. So it's qualifying what movement do I need in which different situation. And Dr. Happiness, which is the chief of the psychology, with Dr. Quiet being the chief of the physiology. Dr. Happiness is in many ways the most important doctor because he governs the other doctors. So if we're not happy, if the psychology isn't in a good place, it's difficult to take the action needed to run our healing processes. And sometimes the pain that we're experiencing is directly correlated to the mental emotional challenges that were happening. So Dr. Happiness is a big part of Dr. Happiness is working with a dream, looking at where you need to go and want to go in order to create the motivation to do the work to heal. Having a dream is extremely important. So, step by step, what I would do to help a person heal, what a person may need to do to heal themselves. So, when we go through these steps, then we're going to apply this to Medical Mystery Mike. So, number one, empower yourself with the knowledge of how the lifestyle factors are linked to the pain that you're feeling and have the belief that you can heal from it. So what got me in this health condition? What caused this problem? Understanding that, remember, knowledge is power and self-empowerment comes through self-knowledge. And from there, we can start to create a plan. Like Paul Check has a great way of putting it. It's like the fastest way to health is to stop doing the things that made you unhealthy. It's like so simple, but can be quite challenging in the application of it. Because we have thoughts and behaviors and all sorts of things linked to it. So number one, empower with the knowledge and the belief that you can heal. Number two is create a plan. Create a plan for healing. Number three, stress reduction, deloading the body, deloading these six different stresses from the system. And this often helps a lot with pain. Physical pain because of reasons discussed, you know, stress creates tension in the body. The less tension in the body, often the less pain there is. Also, stress upregulates the pain receptors in the body. So the more under stress the body is, the higher the body's perception and experience of pain. Number four, start working with gut health. So gut health protocol, get the diet in a good place and get the organs healthy, basically, through different nutritional protocols and detoxification. Number five, manage challenges. So everyone has life challenges. Most people have life challenges in the way of their healing process. So it's often the challenges are time, have enough time to do the stuff, energy, emotions, self-sabotage, or various different life situations that can get in the way. So managing the challenges and having a plan for managing the challenges. Number six, detoxification protocols. Detoxing the body. We live in a toxic world, and often the body needs to be detoxified so that the organs can work better. Number seven, having a good stretch program. So getting the system aligned to start the rebalancing process. And once all of the previous steps are done and or in action, the person, if they've got no energy, they should start getting a lot of energy come back. When the person is able to, then starting with a strengthening exercise routine is a good thing to be doing. Now, we don't want to start necessarily straight away unless the person's already in a good place of health, because sometimes the exercise program could make someone worse, because exercise is a stress. So, you know, there's a lot of burnt out people who are feeling pain, who are still trying to go to the gym 4 to 5 times a week, and they're smashing their bodies, whereby this is just making them worse. So, you know, in this instance, it's about slowing down, harmonizing the body, breathing, working on health and nutrition, and de-stressing. Because what will happen is, if you're smashing a body that's already stressed and in pain, this is like a great environment for an injury. And the body will give you an injury, give you that pain as a course correction, because you maybe shouldn't be in the gym in this instance, training. So the body will give you pain to get you to stop training, as an opportunity to change and relax the system and do what is actually needed to heal. Now, if someone is coming from a very difficult, dilapidated place, then the strengthening program starts very, very small, just a few strengthening exercises, because you don't want to wipe yourself out. Like, it's not about burning yourself out. It's about cultivating energy. It's about bringing more energy into the system through sleeping more, through getting the right nutrition into the system, through relaxing, through deloading stress. Build energy first, then you can spend energy. Because if the body doesn't have energy on board, it will struggle to heal itself. So this is where energy building is so important. And the final step is to continue the approach, because often it can take a bit of time to heal, a bit of time of doing the right things correctly, and then continuing to do the right things, because, you know, there's no point in someone doing a bunch of good stuff, changing their nutrition and starting to move, only to go back to old habits afterwards, which will just bring back the pain. So it's continuing the work. Okay, so we're going to talk about Medical Mystery Mike next. So this is my case study of the kinds of clients that I might come across with all sorts of different issues, spanning for all sorts of different causes, needing all sorts of different solutions. So to go through Medical Mystery Mike's case study. So poor old Mike is riddled with pain problems. He's a 45-year-old man who is suffering a whole realm of different debilitating pain symptoms, ranging from sciatica to neck pain to digestion troubles, such as painful bloating, gas, and constipation. After seeing specialist after specialist, no one has been able to help him, and he is beginning to lose the hope for getting better and is feeling incredibly disempowered by his life situation. So, you know, this is where a lot of people are, and, you know, it's a difficult place to be. So Mike's lifestyle, I just realized that as I was going through his symptoms there, I was all kind of, Mike is this, Mike is that, and I was kind of lacking a bit of compassion there. because I was excited about getting into this case study. So I've usually got a lot more compassion, but Medical Mystery Mike is fictional. However, you know, people struggle with a lot of the same things that Mike is going through. So to go from Mike's lifestyle, Mike runs a building company with a lot of client and staff pressures. He's often at work by 7:30 a.m. and works late into the evening, which is putting pressure on his relationship with his wife. And he doesn't get to spend as much time with his kids as he would like, adding to his stress. Mike usually skips breakfast, has a service station sandwich and pasty lunch, and a massive evening meal because he's starving. This is creating blood sugar handling problems, and he's looking at a pre-diabetic diagnosis. Mike has had 3 coffees by noon and 5 coffees by the end of the day to give him the energy he needs to get through the day, although feels that the coffees are actually making his energy worse when the effects wear off. He doesn't really drink a lot of water, maybe a pint a day or so. And the coffee, plus other life stressors and watching TV until late at night, impacts his sleep, which hasn't been too good for years. He usually sleeps for 5 to 6 hours and finds it hard to get to bed due to being overstimulated. So if anything of this sounds like you, then really, yeah, this is good to note this down. Mike used to exercise, but hasn't done anything for years now, and now finds it difficult because of the pain he is feeling. He sits at the desk most of the day, which usually makes his back pain, hip pain, and sciatica worse. He was prescribed painkillers and a cookie-cutter back pain exercise sheet, but neither of which have helped him a great deal, unfortunately. His and his wife's sex life is virtually non-existent due to Mike not being able to engage due to the pain that he's feeling. Mike feels trapped in his body and doesn't have hope that he can heal from the pain he is feeling. He has seen the doctor and was referred to a physiotherapist. Is still experiencing pain after the recommendations. Mike wants to spend more time with his family and be present for his kids as they grow up, but his pain and work schedule is preventing him from doing so. Poor bloke. So Mike's issues, based off of the above lifestyle factors, so this is looking more at the biomechanics of things. So it's believed that his adrenal glands are totally cooked through life stressors, along with an IBS diagnosis and constant bouts of bloating while oscillating between constipation and diarrhea, related to his dietary choices, which are high in gluten, sugar, and processed foods. It's also found that the coffee is further cooking his adrenal glands, and he's using the coffee just to get through the day because his adrenal glands are burnt out and he doesn't have enough adrenaline to keep his system going. So he's basically on the edge of collapse and burnout. It's believed that digestive issues are shutting down Mike's main core stability muscles. Mike is carrying a little bit more weight than is classed as healthy, adding to his challenges. Due to overfiring adrenal glands, Mike is extremely tired and yet wired most of the time. Due to a lack of core stability, his hip flexors get really tight, causing his pelvis to come forward, causing wear and tear and pain in his hip, and a lower back disc bulge on the right-hand side, causing shooting sciatic pain down his right-hand side and lower back. Because everything's connected and the right hip is connected to the left shoulder, this is causing a left shoulder problem, which is causing a levator scapulae on that side to get tight. That's pulling his neck discs out of alignment, which is then shifting his weight further down the body, causing more pressure to go through that right leg, causing his right knee to hurt. So he's got a few things going on, unfortunate guy. So now, this kind of situation is all too common. Again, like the more stressed and burnout we get, the more pain appears within the body, because it's the body's cry for help in terms of getting out of it. Also, his system is massively inflamed as well due to the digestive challenges. This inflammation also is contributing to the pain that he's feeling, because everything is just too hot and running 10 to the 9s. And yeah, he's having a miserable time because of it. So, right, next, I'm going to go through the four-doctor recommendation plan for Mike for his healing journey. So this would be a really, really good time to take some notes, because there's a lot of really good things in here, which I hope that you can find beneficial. So Dr. Diet, this is looking at what kinds of diet he needs, what kinds of foods he needs to heal. So first, we need to look at removing the intolerant foods. Oh yeah, just to preface this four doctor plan. Now, this might sound a lot. Now, this isn't meant to be done all at once. Now, the more stressed someone is and the more under load someone is, the less I would give someone and the less I would advise someone to take on if this is sounding like yourself. So just focus on one thing at a time. It's better to do one thing at a time consistently, trying to move the earth and trying to do everything at once, which often isn't sustainable and very difficult to do and hold together if you're busy and stressed out. So this four-doctor plan is to be done over a period of time. So Dr. Diet, remove intolerant foods, sugar, gluten, and processed foods from his diet. This is to reduce the inflammation and will likely help the IBS, which will then help the back pain. Reduce coffee. Now, coffee is torching his adrenal glands at the moment, so 5 coffees is going to be way too much. So reducing coffee, not going all the way off coffee, because this will often cause a withdrawal symptom. You want to go down slowly. I quite like switching to chai lattes, because you still get the caffeine, but it's only got like a third of the caffeine in it, and you don't get as much of a buzz response, because the coffee will be dehydrating him and putting him under a lot of stress, a lot of load. Looking at his breakfast and meal timings and switching to organic. Now, for best results, usually we're looking at having largest meal of the day as breakfast, smaller lunch, and smallest dinner. Whereas if we're having a lot of food in the evening, then what this does is the system has to digest it during our sleep, and the body can't clean itself up or go into a fat-burning response in our sleep. Drinking more water. Oh yeah, and food quality is important as well, because if he flips to an organic diet, then this will start detoxifying his system in of itself, through not having the toxicity of foods that often have pesticides, fungicides, rodenticides, herbicides in it. So this is more toxicity into the body that we don't want there. Drinking more water. So Paul Check says the best solution for pollution is dilution. So every system in the body depends on water, so cleaning the system with water, hydrating the body. And yeah, I mean, through drinking more water, I've seen better sleep, better skin, pain reduction, all sorts of magical things can happen just through drinking water. I mean, the discs of the spine are made of a gel-like nucleus. So when we're dehydrated, the discs of the spine shrink. So the space that the nerves come out of the spine, there's less space there, which can cause compression. So someone's nerve pain or sciatica can often be related to them being dehydrated because the discs shrink. Also, just doing all of the above things, Mike was able to lose 4 kilograms in 2 weeks. I've seen this happen numerous times. Yeah, pain reduction, better sleep, better skin, lost 4 kilograms all in 2 weeks. And later on with Dr. Diet, we'd be looking at continuing to improve the diet, bringing in fermented foods, and looking at detoxification protocols to help further clean the body. So Dr. Quiet, first thing I'd look at here is getting Mike more sleep at the correct kinds of times. So getting to bed by 10:30. So we're more in line with the circadian rhythm of the sun. So our biological link to the sun is the circadian rhythm. And yeah, this, like, there's a couple of guys who recently won the Nobel Prize for their work on the circadian rhythms, and it's now being recognized as one of the most important faculties of our health. So when we're in line with the circadian rhythm, we're much more in line with how we're supposed to be and in line with nature and in line with our hormones. So I've seen amazing things happen. I remember one of my first ever clients, she was going to bed at 1 a.m., getting up at 9 a.m. and always feeling tired. And we worked to get her sleeping back to 10 till 6. Even though she was still sleeping 8 hours, she experienced a massive boost in her energy levels, and she'd started losing weight, whereby she was finding it difficult to do so before. A month later, I asked her how it was going. She's like, oh, I've started going to bed at 9. I love it, because she had more and more energy. Second Dr. Quiet recommendation, deep belly breathing 5 times a day to start relaxing his system. Breath is one of the best ways to start harmonizing and relaxing the body. Breath is basically takes us out of the fight or flight state. Coffee reduction, again, in Dr. Quiet as well as Dr. Diet, because it will very much come under both Dr. headings. Sleep hygiene. So sleep hygiene is getting rid of electrical items from your bedroom, phones, tablets, not looking at light before bed, maybe even getting some blue light blocking glasses, blacking out the room as much as possible so no light can get in. So, you know, if the body is seeing and perceiving light near to bed or during sleep, it won't go down into deep sleep and you won't get the deep rest that you need. So this is all sleep hygiene stuff. And zone exercises before bed. So doing some light breathing exercises, some Tai Chi exercises, movement exercises, just to help put you into that deep state for sleep. So we've got a morning routine. It's good to have an evening routine as well, a bedtime routine, to help bring us into a restful state so we can get deeper rest. Dr. Movement. When he would be ready, I would give him specific strength stretching exercises, and later on strengthening exercises when he would be feeling better and with more energy, because again, too much strengthening before a person's feeling good, and you're just going to compound how they're feeling. Belly breathing, general working on breathing technique, looking at getting his belly breaths all throughout the day, which will have a net relaxation effect. Qigong, walking, swimming or being in water. Now, a really interesting thing happens when we're in pain and we're in water. The water gives a great sense of feedback to the nervous system, and it can dampen the pain because of the amount of stimulation that's on the nervous system. So it destimulates the pain receptors. So hot bath can be really good for pain as well, to destimulate things. And yeah, later on, strengthening and exercise protocol once he's feeling better. Dr. Happiness. How do we start working with his Dr. Happiness different aspects? So first off, I'd actually clarify Mike's nightmare. The nightmare is where he does not want to be. Where do you not want to be? And, you know, for Mike, that would be more of the same and things getting worse and not being able to spend time with his kids and be connected with his wife. That's his nightmare. So if you've got a good idea of where you don't want to be, it makes it easier to see where you do want to be. Then look at clarifying Mike's dream. So where does he want to be? He wants to be playing with his kids again. He wants to be connected with his wife. He wants to be relaxed at work, relaxed in general, financially in a good place, not stressing out. And he wants to have his life back ultimately. He wants to have his life back from the pain that he's experiencing. So I'd then get him to look at restructuring his work. So seeing what he could do to bring in other management structures to take the load off of him, seeing what he could do to delegate more to staff members, and seeing if anything could be done to restructure the business so that he's not doing so much, because his work is killing him essentially in the current structure it's in. So, you know, things can be restructured and changed around, or help can be brought in, you know, even if it's, you know, even if, so if this is you, even if it's something like doing your books each week takes time, you know, you can maybe outsource that to a bookkeeper, and that will give you back some more time to then work on, you know, keeping yourself in a good place. I might then get him to paint his dream, do a mood board, or write a statement of his dream so that he can start moving towards that and have it in his conscious mind. Date night with his wife, because the fire has not been there for a while because of the pain that he's experiencing, and this is putting pressure on his relationship. So getting a babysitter for the kids and going for a date night. And art and games with the kids. And just so art and games, so things that aren't going to aggravate his kids, because he'd love to be playing football with them, but he can't at the moment due to the pain. So low-level stress on the body tasks that he can share with the kids. Now, the wife and his kids, this is really important, him looking after these aspects, because this is going to be Mike's dream team, or part of his dream team. So the dream team are the people that support us in our endeavors in life, but also within our healing process. So it's really important to identify who are your supporters, who are your dream team, and, you know, how can they help to support you through your healing process, and what support can you offer in exchange, and what conversations maybe need to be had with the dream team, because, you know, this can create some space. And often when the dream team is in line with what you're looking to achieve, this makes it a lot easier to achieve, because they can support you. And it's good to have the dream team on our side in a good place and working with us. And how can we work with them as well to help them support us? So it goes two ways, because if we're not looking after the dream team, then they're going to be less inclined to want to support us. So it's having those conversations and thinking about, you know, how to navigate and how to orientate ourselves so that we have the support of the dream team and they have the support of us. So, yeah, this was Mike's four-doctor plan. He stuck to it diligently. And, yeah, Mike's journey, he actually got to a place of full pain rehabilitation. It took him a year, which is important to recognize, because true healing takes time, you know. Like I said earlier, you know, pain, it's often years in progress. So if it took 10 years to get into pain, it's kind of doesn't really make sense to think that, you know, you're going to be out of pain in a month's time. So generally, the longer the challenge is taken to get into, the longer it can take to get out of. But, you know, 1 year to get out of something that's taken 10 years to create, that's not a bad ratio, if you ask me. So to give you like a kind of the layout of how Mike's journey went. So within 3 months, Mike's digestive issues are less. He has less pain. He's happier with a good outlook and has hope for healing, whereas before he was beginning to lose hope. He's restructured his work and has started to feel the benefits of having slightly more time. He's enjoying more time with his family and feeling more connected with them. And him and his wife are having sex again, which is something that they couldn't actually do before because of Mike's pain. But he is still experiencing sex when he has pain, although he's able to, you know, have sex, which is a massive improvement on before. After 6 months, Mike has even less pain, and he feels like he's getting his life back to normal. His digestive issues are really, really reduced now. He sometimes still gets bloated. He's still kind of slipping back into eating the things that don't agree with him, but recognizing that when this happens, he pays for it. But yeah, his digestive issues are really, really down now. The old thing here and there, but by and large, they're in a good place. He started lifting weights at the gym, but is started to do this with like light weights, not training for very long, just 20 minutes to half an hour, because we're still deloading his system. He can pick up his kids and play with them, but he's also got to be still quite careful with that, because he can play with them, whereby he couldn't pick them up at all before, but he's got to be careful about tweaking his back. his work is transitioning in a really nice way. He's got even more time and has brought in more management. So he's got more time to focus on the things that are more important to him, such as his family and his health. His sex life is more regular. Woohoo! Less pain. So that is really good. He's really happy with that. And so is his wife. And he's much more connected with his wife and family. Like they're doing a lot more. They've got holidays planned. They've got certain times of the weekend set aside just for them, rather than Mike having to either catch up and work or just feeling tired all weekend. So yeah, that's 6 months. After 1 year, the 1 year mark, Mike is healed, fully healed. His digestive system is good. He knows though that if he has certain foods, then this might not yield the best results, but he can still have the odd pizza now and then without it troubling him anymore. His digestive system is that robust. He's lifting heavy in the gym like he was when he was in his 20s. So he's super happy about that and feeling strong again. He plays football with his kids and picks them up, no problem. And the memory of pain is getting more and more distant, and he doesn't really need to worry about it anymore because his back's feeling strong. He has a manager and structure for his time. His work pretty much runs a lot of it without him. He's managed to put himself in a really good place whereby he's actually able to focus more on driving the business forward, whereby before that wasn't possible because he was like a hamster in the wheel. Now he's actually got the time and space to do the things within his business to actually bring more revenue in through the new projects that he's embarking on. He started salsa with his wife and has a great sex life, pain-free. Woohoo! Yeah! And that relationship is back to a really good place, like when they were just married. And he's also feeling happy and empowered, again, in his role as father, husband, and business owner. So he's in a really good place. So now, I want to say that this is realistic. So people have these kinds of challenges and people heal from these kinds of challenges. And that is a rough idea of what a timeline can look like if someone commits to themselves and does the right work and follows the right guidance. So yeah, it is realistic. The body has, as I said before, this amazing capacity to heal. So the right guidance and the right action and doing the work, many great things can be achieved. And now, this is also to echo earlier, it's also important that if something is a really deep problem, it's important to also be realistic, because sometimes full healing isn't always possible, but a lot of the time it is. So, you know, if full healing isn't possible, improvements can always be made. So, yeah, that's what a journey can look like. So I hope you take some inspiration from that and also some good information, because you know, if you're not feeling too good, if you start looking at a few of those things, then you know you're going to start feeling better. Moving to the final section of this podcast, is a bit of a call out really. So if you are suffering from any chronic pain challenges, health conditions, if you're recovering from injury or surgery, if you're going through a life transition, if you want to move better, get into get into the best shape of your life, move through mental emotional challenges, and if you're looking to grow yourself and reach your peak, or all of the above, then I can help. This is what I do for a career. I help people empower themselves out of challenges like this, and I absolutely love it. I really love what I do. It's a real joy, pleasure and honor to be able to guide and facilitate good people's healing processes and journeys. So yeah, this is through Phoenix Coaching. So it's a holistic health, pain rehabilitation and growth and self-empowerment coaching service. So my approach, as I hope you can pick up from the podcast, is understanding that a person is a holistic being of interweaving complex systems, with each system influencing others. Also the understanding that the body is a physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual construct, and that everything influences everything else. This directs my approach. So my job is to discover the root cause of your pain challenges and then construct a scientific health, nutrition, movement, and wellness program, highly specific to you as an individual. So that'd be a four doctor plan. It'd be a very specific exercise plan. It'd be a very specific coaching approach as well, so that I can help you get the most out of yourself. It needs to be individual because, you know, everyone is individual, and, you know, it needs to work to the individual's time constraints, energy constraints. And it's my job to construct that for you. So, you know, I could construct the best program in the world and it take a person, you know, an hour long each day. But if that person's not got an hour each day, that program's not going to work. So I need to construct something that takes 15 minutes for that person and has the biggest bang for that time, based off what I'm seeing within my assessment. So what is going to help move, what's going to be the most effective things to give that person to move the dial in the best and biggest way possible to move them closer to healing. So I also give the support with the coaching to help manage the change process and any challenges that come with that. Offer coaching for any mental and emotional challenges, limiting beliefs or self-sabotage that may be either creating the health challenge or blocking you from healing it. So a lot of the time we can kind of get in our own way when it comes to a change process, because change can be challenging, especially when we're looking to change things that we've done maybe for years and years and years. And this is where having a strong idea of a dream, a strong idea of where you want to be is really important, because a labor of love is a lot easier than a labor without. So anchoring to the dream and, you know, having someone to help and support you through that process and any challenges that may arise. So my job is, I kind of think of it as like, we're in a rally car and you got the driver, and then you got the person next to the driver going, okay, 10 degrees left, 10 degrees right. Okay, hard right, hard left. That's my job. Your job is to drive the car. My job is to basically tell you what's coming and guide you through that process. So, and come up with solutions as well, because, you know, sometimes it's very difficult to come up with solutions ourselves. So having a third person to help to troubleshoot the different life things that can come up is really helpful. I've got a coach. He helps me with the different challenges that I go through, and it's invaluable. So I offer nutritional coaching, detoxification work, manual therapy. So the manual therapy I didn't actually touch on, but I work with people with the fascial system. So it's a form of corrective clinical massage, which helps to align the system and very, very quickly, and can also work to release trapped emotions. So it's not uncommon for things to come up through the therapy. So I've had it before with clients, you know, in tears for a couple of days afterwards, which is a good thing because the emotions are moving through the system. Doesn't always happen, but definitely does happen. So I'm also a corrective exercise specialist, been rehabilitating people's blown discs for years. Work with mental emotional coaching, self-development and growth coaching, and spiritually based mindfulness work as well. So help a number of individuals with their spiritual and mindfulness development. And really, you can call the whole healing process a spiritual process, really, because it's the work of changing ourselves to bolster our health and vitality, which is you could call a spiritual thing, spiritual calling. Just getting healthy is a spiritual activity in my eyes. So this is all brought into one complete self-transformation service to help you not only overcome any pain or health challenges that you're facing, but also to become the best, most empowered version of yourself. So yeah, if you'd like to get in touch, I offer a free discovery call to find out about your situation and if I can help. And from there, there's the assessment consultation, which is a 90-minute to 2-hour consultation. Within that consultation, I go through an assessment, quite a detailed assessment. We measure all of the different muscles of the body. We measure your spinal angles. So I can basically build a 3D map of what's happening within the musculoskeletal system. Also find out a little bit about your lifestyle and some of the health challenges that may be arising through the Q&As that come beforehand. And within this assessment consultation, it's going to give me like a really, really good idea of what's causing your pain challenges. And based off of that, I can then advise you of what kind of level of support you're going to need moving forward. So I have a number of different packages, which based off what I see with you and what you're going to need, we can talk about that at the end of the assessment consultation. So yeah, if you'd like to jump on that and jump on a discovery call, then feel free to reach out. I will pop my details in the podcast notes. So yeah, to bring summary to this podcast, thank you for listening. I hope this has been like really, really useful and informative for you. So I want to summarize again by really ending on what we started on, and that's the belief that change is possible. Like really, there is hope, and it is often, you know, often things haven't worked before because either you're not maybe doing the correct things for what's needed, or maybe a combination of things is needed at the same time. But change is possible, healing is possible. I really, really want that to be the take-home message, because, you know, a lot of people start losing hope with pain. Please don't lose hope. There are things you can do. Remember, self-knowledge and taking action is empowerment. Knowledge is power. So start educating yourself. You know, grab a book like How to Eat, Move and Be Healthy. Look at your symptoms. Look into it. Look into what's happening for you. And there's so much great material out there that you can start empowering yourself with. So yeah, How to Eat, Move and Be Healthy is like a really great start. So self-knowledge is self-power, self-empowerment. And yeah, and starting to take action now, you know, and I always recommend starting small. You know, you don't need to start moving the earth, you know, just drinking more water, getting more of a walk in each day, getting to bed a little bit earlier, or just writing out what you would like to achieve. This is like a great start. And also, I've seen those things alone create some really meaningful change in someone's energy levels. So it's often like quite simple, straightforward lifestyle actions that can make a whole world of difference. So yeah, it's also making the decision to make a change to improve your life. Because, you know, our life is a product of our choices. So what kind of choices do you want to make, and what kind of life do you want to have? And what kind of choices are going to empower you to make meaningful, long-lasting, and powerful change in your life? What choice can you make today to start affecting that? So, yeah, if you've got any questions about any of the material on this podcast, then feel free to reach out. Much love. I really hope you found this useful, informative. And, yeah, really happy to help. Just reach out. So wishing you a wonderful day. And hopefully I don't see you too soon, but if I do, then I'd love to help you. So it's this funny thing. It's just like, I want to see people, but at the same time, if I see people, it means that they're suffering. So I don't want people to suffer. So it's this funny dynamic. So yeah, much love and have a lovely day. Transforming pain into empowerment.